This is Women of Grace Live, discussing issues important to your life and faith. Spiritual insight, practical wisdom. Join us as we transform the world one woman at a time. Women of Grace, for such a time as this. Now, here's your host, Johnette Williams.
Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to Women of Grace Live. I am Johnette Williams. I am delighted to be with you. I hope you're delighted to be with us. We so look forward to this time, Monday through Friday, as we discuss issues of importance to your life and your faith. Always inviting you to use the toll-free number to call us right here at Women of Grace Live, and it is toll-free if you're in North America. That number is 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Also inviting you to get out there to EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. The chat feature is there, and guess what you do there? You simply put your question or comment, your insight, your inspiration, your word of encouragement right there in that chat feature. And Jeff Burson, who is our social media manager and our producer, will dash on out there and he'll get it and he'll put it up on the board for us. We already have a YouTube question coming in, so I'm glad that we've got people out there. I'm giving you a little wave just to say howdy hey to you. Speaking of howdy hey, when you call in to our toll-free number, we've got Matt Gabinski on the phones, and give him a big old howdy hey. He'll give you one back, and he'll take your question and get it up on the board. That number again is 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Now, if you're outside of North America, we have a number for you too. We do. That number begins with the country code. It's country code 1-205-271-2985. That's country code 1-205-271-2985. We look forward to hearing from you today. It is a Wacky Wednesday. Sue Brinkman is going to be with us right after the break. We're eager to talk with her about all kinds of different topics. On this day, we like to talk about, you know, those things that are related to the New Age, the occult, the paranormal kinds of things. You know, anything wacky that you see going on, or things that you wonder about, you know, that you're just curious about. How does this fit in with our Catholic faith? Does it fit in with our Catholic faith? What does the church say about it? Those are the kinds of questions that we like to receive on Wednesday. So as I always tell you, don't delay, call right away. If you wait too long, we might not be able to get to your question. And because your question is important to us and to you and to a whole lot of other people out there, we do ask you to call in and to get that question up on the board as quickly as you can. 833-288-EWTN. Well, I've been telling you about all kinds of exciting things that are coming up. And one of the most exciting things that's coming up in the very near future, in addition to our program today, has to do with the beautiful retreat that we are going to be holding there at Malvern Retreat House. Father John Paul Mary Zeller and myself have been invited to Malvern to give an Advent retreat. And we're going to be giving that the weekend of December the 17th through the 19th. And I am so looking forward to it. I really am. We've got this beautiful theme. It is Advent, a time for hope, healing, and new life. It is situated right there on the weekend before Christmas, because we really want to focus our attention, especially in that last week, on the coming of the Christ child and our preparation for him, to receive him anew into our life and all of the graces that he longs for us to receive and all of the blessings he hopes that we will embrace. And so we're going to be talking about all of that, especially as it relates to the virtue of hope, especially as it relates to healing, especially as it relates to new life, transformation in Christ Jesus. So it's going to be an exciting time. I can assure you of that. And I am really, really pleased with the way that our talks have shaped up. I'm really excited about the organization of those talks according to that beautiful hymn, O Come Emmanuel. I just know it's going to be filled, chock filled with blessings coming to us from heaven. So don't deprive yourself. This particular retreat is open to men. It's open to women. It's open to people of all ages, except for the very young. So we do invite you to join us for this beautiful retreat coming December the 17th through the 19th. More to say about that as time moves closer. But look, it's just 2 weeks away now. So that is pretty close. Don't delay. Join us. Join us there at Malvern Retreat House, December the 17th through the 19th. Advent, a time for hope, healing, and new life. Father John Paul, Mary, and I have been talking about this retreat, and we're both very, very excited about it because we sense, I guess what you would say is we have a really holy anticipation. We just really feel that God is going to burst through in new and exciting ways as we join together there. So get on out there to our website, womenofgrace.com. You can register right there at our website. The retreat is listed for you under events. It's also listed for you right there on the homepage under upcoming events. Either way, click on it. It's going to take you to a landing page, and you will be able to register right there. So we're inviting you to join us for this exciting moment at Malvern Retreat House, December the 17th through the 19th. Myself and Father John Paul Mary Zeller are presenting this retreat at Malvern for Malvern. Everyone's invited. So we're asking you to sign up and to join us for this lovely time. All kinds of other good things are happening. As you well know, our Women of Grace book study is in full session. Going to ask Sue a little bit about that when we get to Sue in a few moments here. The Four Last Things, A Catechetical Guide to Death, Judgment, Heaven, and Hell, led by Sue. And from what I hear, it's going extraordinarily well. And when we have these opportunities, you know, to dig more deeply into our life of faith, to dig more deeply into the mysteries that God desires, we explore in the name of His Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, we learn so much. But more than learning in the cognitive sense, we learn in the spiritual sense, right? There's just this communication of spirit to us. So all we have to do is make ourselves available. God is always there. He's always waiting for us. And I think that all of these events are great ways to open up a new chapter in our own spiritual life and in our growth and in our expansion in the life of Christ. So, you know, we've got all kinds of things that are going to be happening right after the first of the year. Some of those events are listed for you on our website. We want you to participate in them. And I'll tell you something else I want you to participate in. I want you to participate in a Women of Grace foundational study, ladies. If you haven't joined a Women of Grace foundational study group, we want you to do that. We certainly do. And if there isn't one in your area, please consider becoming a facilitator. We've just seen dramatic, dramatic things happen as a result of these Women of Grace study groups. And it's always a joy for us to discover more about who we are in Christ Jesus as the daughters of the Most High God, right? And that's what this particular study does. In addition to that, it does a whole lot more too. It has a tremendous healing component that's attached to it. And we've just watched hearts be changed. We've watched hearts be healed. We've watched lives be transformed. We've watched souls be saved. It's just a beautiful opportunity for you. So we are very eager for you to find out everything you can find out about this study and get started on one in your area or start one in your area. As we say to you, you know, you got to get underneath the spout where the glory pours out. And we can't blame God, right? He's always there. He inspires and opportunities are made available to us, but we've got to take advantage of them. That's the cooperative venture that is the spiritual life, right? God gives, but we have to receive. He's always giving. Are we always receiving? And that's a question I ask myself all the time. So when I ponder these questions with you, I ponder them with myself as well. How many missed opportunities have we had? You know, let's start this new year already. This is the new year, really, the liturgical calendar. Let's start it and make a promise that we're going to take advantage of every opportunity that we possibly can. We've got some coming up for you. That retreat is a good beginning. It really makes a statement. Okay, this year is going to be a truly new year for me. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Sue Brinkman on the other side of the break. Stay tuned. Welcome back, friends. You hear that music. That's the music we use on these Wacky Wednesdays. I don't know. It's like Sue's introductory music. I don't know how Sue feels about that. But we have Sue Brinkman with us today, and it is a Wacky Wednesday, and we're feeling pretty wacky today. We're going to be talking about some of the strange things that we see in our culture today. Some things that, you know, people are investing a whole lot of belief in, and some things that are really counter to our belief, our faith, that which we know to be good, that which we know to be beautiful, that which we know to be true, and that which Holy Mother Church presents. against us. So we like to set the record straight on these days, and we're inviting you to give us a call. It's 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. And to tell you the truth, our phone lines look like they're all lighting up as we address a caller. However, you know that a line is open then, and we invite you to keep trying until you can get through. This is exciting, Sue. All kinds of people calling today, and we're going to ask you to hold. How are you today, Sue?
Oh, I'm doing just fine today, and how about you?
Well, I'm doing very well, thank you. And I was telling everybody, and I know that you were listening in there, you know, how well this book study is going on Father Wade Meneses' book on heaven, on death, judgment, heaven, and hell. And you were telling me that all kinds of discussions were going on last night, and some of it had to do with near-death experiences. So,
oh, yeah.
You want to talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, it was really a very animated conversation. We have a ball on these book studies. We have so much fun. We instantly bond. Everybody gets to know each other. And it's so cool because we're from all over the country. You know, and it's just so neat that we really wouldn't be able to do that if not for our technology. So there's something to be said for technology, that it really does build community. We really can help to build community with it. But anyway, yeah, we were talking about judgment. That was the chapter that we read for this week. That was our assignment. And it came up that, you know, in near-death experiences, all the popularized versions of them, if you notice, there's never any judgment. Everybody just goes straight into this happy, pink cloud, fluffy place, and nobody's ever judged. And the light that they go into is never called Jesus. It's just the light. And the light loves them, and everything's full of love, and they can't do anything wrong, and everything's wonderful. And that's something we need to be careful about, because in reality, the near-death experience movement is very infiltrated with New Age thought and beliefs, because it was started basically by New Agers. That was Dr. Raymond Moody. He was an MD. He wrote Life After Life back in 1975. That's really where it started, was with him in that book. And he documented like the 15 elements that are commonly found in these near-death experiences, the tunnel, the buzzing noise, the light. Well, he's a parapsychologist. He has a medical degree as well. He believes in reincarnation. He believes he has had 9 past lives. He dabbles in the occult in his private research center, where he conducts paranormal studies. He engages in scrying, which is a form of divination that involves gazing into a reflective surface, like a mirror or, you know, a quiet pond or something, the quiet surface of a pond. You can scree in that. And that's for divination purposes. So that's really the guy who founded it. But you had all kinds of players that are involved in this near-death experience movement that were saturated in New Age beliefs. Kenneth Ring, he's another pioneer in that, Life After Death. He wrote a scientific investigation for near-death experience, trained psychologist. He claims he was of no particular religion. And he once told an interviewer that he couldn't recall a single case of someone who reported being judged by God. Nobody. And all the people who he talked to, no one ever got judged. And you think, now, wait a minute. When you really go and you look at serious scientific study of NDEs, first of all, they don't have anything to do with the religious aspect of it. They believe, the medical community believes, that it could be the result of drugs or neurological functions that occur at the end of life. But disinterested researchers such as Carol Zaleski, she's a professor of religion at Smith College. She wrote a book on it called Otherworld Journeys, which I have. And that book is widely respected for its academic excellence. And she writes in there that, hey, guess what? There's a lot of hellish experiences. You never hear about that either in NDEs. No judgment, no light, and hellish experiences. No hellish experiences in them. And these are all red flags to people. Now, wait a minute. It's really not like that. And that's not what the documentation says. It's being left out so that you get their point of view and not anything else. You have Christian researchers who say that they have definitely worked with people who had hellish experiences, and they were so bad that they psychologically tried to suppress them, and they needed help to get over that. So we just have to be very careful about the near-death experiences. And, you know, as far as the light never being named, you know, what about the Great Commission, where Jesus says, go out and tell all the world, you know, and baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son of the Holy Spirit? Jesus would name himself.
Yes.
So this whole idea that it's just this wonderful light and you just sail into it, that's again, you know, the whole idea that God's just an energy force. He's not a personal being. He's never going to be Jesus in New Age NDE experiences because they don't believe in that. They believe God is an energy force, so he's just going to be light. So it's something that, you know, you really have to, I think, be very careful of when you're reading these stories. I personally, I'm fascinated by them. I think they make really good reading. But when I get to that part where, you know, they start to say, oh, yeah, and I went, I saw this wonderful light. I went down a tunnel, blah, blah. Evan Alexander, he was the neurosurgeon who had that. He was probably one of the more recent ones. He had this bacterial infection. And bacterial meningitis or something, and he died. And he claimed that his experience, there was a woman who was with him, unknown, who accompanied him during his visit to the afterlife and delivered messages to him via these interior locutions. And the general messages were, you're loved and cherished. You have nothing to fear, and there's nothing you can do wrong. Now, the minute I got to that phrase, I thought, time to close the book. Okay, this is not, here we go. We're off onto this again. So it's sad actually, because I do believe, and science believes, that they do occur. They don't know why they occur. But I think serious study of them is warranted. And, unfortunately we need to get these biased people out of that field so that we can just take a good objective look at what's going on here.
Yeah. Well, and this is one of the things, you know, we get lured in, by good stories. And as we get lured in by these good stories, part of that story becomes our own narrative. We begin to think that way. We can be very susceptible. So I think that you are right when you talk about, you know, we have to be careful. We have to be cautious. We also have to know what our own proclivities are. Where am I particularly weak? You know, what kind of a thing can lead me down this primrose path? And we have to avoid it because it becomes an occasion of sin, in the sense that it damages our faith. It damages what it is that we are taught. And it begins to replace it with some kind of counterfeit. So, you know, your advice is well taken. And I think, you know, and this applies to the whole spectrum of things that have to do with the New Age. They can appear to be very exciting, but in the end, they're taking us somewhere that we ought not to go. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. We have Colette out there on YouTube, and then we're going to go to Sandy. But Colette wants to know this, Sue. What does the Bible say or think about ghosts?
Well, the Bible actually doesn't say much about ghosts, actually. Matthew 14, I believe, is where the disciples say that Jesus was a ghost, because they saw him walking on the water and they said, oh, no, it's a ghost. And Jesus says, no, it's me. So they did have some belief in ghosts at that time. But the church's position on ghosts is actually quite clear. They say that they've made no pronouncement on the essential nature of ghosts. They're not talking about that. They've made no statement on that. They do forbid us to take part in any kind of spiritualistic practices that would summon ghosts, you know, seances, mediumships, you know, Ghostbuster type stuff going on in these houses. And the church suspects diabolical agencies may be responsible for those manifestations that do occur. And the reason for that is that, you know, the disembodied soul is not capable and does not have the capability of contacting the material world once they have been divested of their senses. They don't have that ability anymore. And that's not really religion. That's physics, okay? You can't do it anymore. Some power has to facilitate that for you. It's either going to be God or it's going to be a preternatural power, such as an angel or a demon. And if God tells us throughout Scripture that you're not supposed to get involved in any of these things where you're summoning the dead or talking to the dead, he's not going to get involved in it. And he's not going to let his angels get involved in it. So there's really only one other person, one other being that could do it, because the disembodied soul can't. So who is left? It's the devil. So this is why the church teaches that, hey, you know what? Stay away from that. They're more than likely demonic entities that are posing as ghosts. But the Bible itself does not say much at all about ghosts.
Well, Colette, we thank you for your question today, and I certainly do hope that that helps you. And Deanna Williston is out there. Hi, Deanna. And she says, a man at my parish who was a fireman and paramedic says there are negative NDEs. Some people scream and are freaking out as they are resuscitated. He said it confirmed his belief of hell. Funny we never hear about those stories, right?
That's so right. And Deanna's in our book study. Thank you, Deanna, for that. Yes, that is really scary, though, that the firemen are saying that the people are screaming and freaking out as they're being resuscitated. That there you go. It's that new age just wants to take over everything, that whole new way of thinking, because what it does is it replaces the Christian worldview. And that's really what they're after. They want to get rid of that, so that you see everything in a new age point of view. And in this whole new world religion, they're trying to do that. That's why they mix in all the Eastern spiritualities to this, you know, bringing in, you know, the yoga and the mindfulness meditation, the Buddhist meditation. That's what they're trying to do, is mix and match everything so that everybody has a little bit of what they want. And now we have one big, you know, happy world religion. Yeah. That's what it's all about.
Well, and that's absolutely the truth. And this is why we have to be so cautious today, because sometimes it can be very difficult to discern what is true and what isn't, especially when you hear people in the church herself speaking these things and participating in these things and promoting these things and writing about these things and teaching about these things. So we have to be, what does it say in sacred scripture? We have to be wise as a serpent and as gentle as a dove, right? Which means that we have to be vigilant. We've got Sandy out there in Plymouth, and she is in Plymouth, is it Mississippi? No, M-I, Plymouth, Michigan.
Michigan, yeah.
I said yesterday on the air, Sandy, I get all of these M abbreviations mixed up. I'm going to make myself a little template and put it on the side of my screen.
That's absolutely okay. No problem. Hey, happy Advent to you ladies, and thank you for what you do. I love Wacky Wednesdays. I have a quick question about... actually, two questions, but about when, Jeanette, you talk about the holy salt and cleansing your house. I don't know, where do you get holy salt? What do you do? And what was the other thing that you used, too?
Oh, it's holy water and blessed salt. And
blessed
so
salt,
all,
okay.
Yeah, and all you really have to do is to go buy some salt at the grocery store. I like to use kosher salt, but go get some salt and take it to your pastor and ask him, please, to bless it. Now, sometimes... there are priests who can bless it with an exorcism blessing, which is really a great thing to have. And so you can ask your priest if he has that blessing and if he can pray it and bless the salt. Now, the salt in and of itself is not something that carries any kind of supernatural power with it at all. What it is it's the blessing on the salt, right? So it's the blessing that protects us. And it's the same with the holy water. And of course, you can use any water and ask the priest to bless it. Most of the time, you can get holy water in the back of your church. Sure. There's usually a big receptacle of holy water there that you can fill small little holy water bottles with. And just go through your home with the blessed salt and the holy water and just pray the St. Michael prayer as you walk through. The spiritual authority in the home is always the husband. If you're a single woman, no problem. You have that authority. If your husband doesn't want to do it or doesn't believe, then, you know, you can do it as well. So it's a great practice. It really is a great practice.
Well, thank you for telling me that. And just real quick, I have a family member that's going through a horrible thing. Her family is falling apart, and she's very into yoga, very into crystals, and I think it's all coming to fruition. So what should I do? Have her listen to the blog? Where do I take her so she can start listening to all these things?
Sue?
Okay, so she would go to our blog, which is at newage.womenofgrace.com. That'll take her right to the index. We have several things out there on crystals. Crystals can be very dangerous. Depending on how they're being used, it is in an occult art. It is used in occult rituals. Crystals are. You have to be very careful with that kind of thing. In yoga, you don't know what doors you're opening in yoga. It depends on what your yoga class is doing. If you're opening the door to all these different Hindu gods that these poses are reverencing, you're opening the door to those gods. And of course, we know demons hide behind the names of those gods. So she could be opening herself to all kinds of things. But if she would just go to the blog, these are, you know, short, maybe 800 to 1,000 word blogs. It's not a lot, not heavy reading. And look it up right on the index. It's newage.womenofgrace.com. And that'll take her right to the index for the blog. And it's an alphabetical index. Just scroll down. You want to get her on there under that index, because she'll see a whole lot of things like, oh, I want to read about this. I want to read about that, because there's a lot of stuff out there. Oh, well over 1,000 articles that we have in our library. It's quite extensive. So depending on whatever else she's involved in that you don't know about, she may also find some information out there too.
Thank you so much. Okay, and you guys have a great Advent. Merry Christmas, and I appreciate all you do.
Well, thank you so much, Sandy. We appreciate you, too, and thank you so very much for listening. And, friends, we invite you to give us a call here. We've got a couple of phone lines that are opened up. Some of our people couldn't hold on there. So let us give you that number. It is 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. That is the way that you can join us live here on Women of Grace Live, where we do love having that holy conversation with you. Also available for you is EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. We invite you to make use of that too. The chat feature is there for you. That's how Deanna joined us, and that's also how it was that Colette joined us. You can join us that way as well. We have Joe out there in Northwest Indiana, Sue. I'm going to bring him up. We're probably going to have you hold over through the break, Joe. But it looks to me like you've got a very important question, and one that today, on this particular day, is very, very timely. So go for it, Joe.
Hi, John F. Thank you so much for taking my call. And thank you to your guest. So we were talking about, you know, New Age things that bring bad spirits into our lives, into our homes, our marriages, wherever we take ourselves. I think these bad spirits can remain with us and linger. And, you know, on this day where we're praying so hard, Catholics all around the country, that this Dobbs case really starts to unravel Roe v. Wade, I have a challenge to the bishops. You know, I'm frustrated because the bishops, I don't think, did enough in unison as a conference around the United States to consider the grave situation that we would have with a president and with many politicians who are so pro-abortion.
Now, Joe, I'm going to have to ask you to hold there. We're going to come right back to you. We're right down to the wire here on this break. We're inviting you, friends, to call us at 833-288-EWTN. More on the other side of the break. Sue Brinkman's in the house. Stay with us.
The Women of Grace phone lines are open. 1-833-288-EWTN. 1-833-288-3986.
Welcome back, friends. You are listening to Women of Grace Live, and we are very, very happy you are with us today. We're inviting you to give us a call. We've got a couple of phone lines open here, 833-288-EWTN. That is the number for you to use. It is, again, toll-free for you right here in North America. Again, 833-288-EWTN. EWTN. Additionally, we're out there for you at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. You can use the chat feature there to get your question or comment up on the board. Matt Kabinski on the phones, Jeff Burson out there in social media land. If you're a first-time submitter or caller, let us know, and we'll ring our bell to welcome you to our broadcast. Joe is with us from Northwest Indiana, and he was talking about abortion prior to the break. And we do want to remind you that we are in a very important moment here in our country, as the Supreme Court is once again hearing arguments that could reverse Roe v. Wade, brought about through the state of Mississippi. So I am asking you, please, to pray. Please pray. This is an important day, a very important day. So Joe's comment here is a very timely one. So we're going to go back to you, Joe. So pick up where you left off. You were saying that you were disappointed that the bishops haven't taken a more strident stand in light of the current administration that holds sway over our political reality, our government right here in the United States of America. But you've got a great question, too, that we're hoping that you get to.
Thanks so much. Well, you know, in the St. Michael prayer, we pray for St. Michael's protection against the demons, the evil spirits who prowl about the world seeking the ruin of souls. So they look to find a place to wreak havoc on our lives, on our souls, and destroy. So here we are. We're talking about, gee, it would be unfortunate for women to go have their palms read or to have crystals in their home or even to exercise yoga. And these are things that can welcome, open doors and windows to these evil spirits, demons. So how much more, and this is what I want our princes of the church to hear, they are guardians for us. They don't just teach us faith and morals, but they also teach us what can harm us. So in protecting us, I don't think they did enough a year ago when they could have all in unison say, we cannot possibly vote for politicians who are going to leave our people, especially our women, vulnerable to evil spirits. So here we're talking about crystals and yoga. How much more so do demons take advantage of a situation where a woman pays someone to kill her child within her womb?
Yes.
Does that not open? So it's not just the preborn that we're trying to save from murder. We're trying to save the entire society, workplaces, homes, marriages, women's lives. You know, I heard somebody today say that an abortionist doctor said she sleeps fine at night. She sleeps fine. But what about the women that have the abortion? Does she care that they may not sleep fine every night for the rest of their lives?
Well, you know, you ask a very, very deep question, a very important question. And I think that on the face of it, and Sue, I'm going to turn this over to you, but I think that on the face of it, we know that abortion is a murderous action. There's no question about it. Science shows us today in ways in which it never could show us in the past that the child in the womb is a human person. We know that. And the arguments that we hear put forth by individuals about it's a right, a woman has a right to her own body, it isn't her body. It's the body of this child who is a separate person that is being tortured and killed in her womb. I know these are harsh realities to hear, but this is the fact. When we purposely perform actions that are an abomination to God, we are opening ourselves up to demonic influences, and we're inviting murderous spirits into our life. And I think that oftentimes we see the result of this, you know, and you talk about one aspect of it, that oftentimes women have very deep-seated emotional and psychological struggles after they have an abortion that tears apart family life, impedes relationships, causes them to get into the wrong kind of relationships. We know there is healing. We know there is repentance, and we want to lead those women to healing and repentance. And we, you know, as the Christian body, want to be able to say to them, you know, we love you, we accept you. None of us, you know, are perfect. All of us have fallen short of the glory of God. But the fact of the matter is, we cannot, because of some kind of wrong-headed compassion, continue to allow this to take place. And personally, I think a lot of what we see taking place in our society today, the murderous shooting that took place in Oxford, Michigan yesterday, the lives being taken, you know, time and again by these young individuals who do not know the sanctity of life, the troubles that we see in our streets, the rioting that's been going on, the pandemic itself. I think so much of this is really it's the weight of sin bursting through into the natural level. And it's caused, I think, by us having removed ourselves from God's blessing in a predominant way through abortion. Sue, go ahead.
Oh, absolutely. Especially when you have the country itself allowing it.
Yes.
You have the whole social structure of the country violating the commandments of God. This is not, it doesn't bode well for us. But I want to add too, to everything that you're saying, Johnette, is that anyone who is deeply wounded is vulnerable to demonic influence.
Right.
Anyone. Doesn't have to be just abortion, but you know, no. Many women are, and I've heard numbers higher than even 60% of women are forced into it for one reason or another. They have to do it. They don't have a choice. Which is really, I think the irony of the whole thing. They always say, yeah, they are, they don't have the money for it. The father has abandoned them, their families, whatever the reason, many of them are doing it against their will. They don't want to do it. But even those who do go into it saying, oh yeah, I have to do this and I'll be relieved after it's done, they, as you said, Johnette, suffer from it. And demons come in through our wounds. That's how they attack us.
They hide in those wounds.
They do. They absolutely do that. And that's where we're weak. They come in where we're weak because that's how they are. They're dirty. They fight dirty. And they come in where you are the weakest. So any kind of abuse, you know, any kind of psychological trauma, any kind of addiction, and of course, sin, okay? Any way that you're violating against God's commandment, that's a wound on the soul. anything like that makes you vulnerable to demonic influence. So yes, it's coming in. And it's, and like you said, Johnette, it's all over our world at this point.
That's right.
Because of it being accepted on so many different levels, even up to the level of government. And this is really what's happening. You're just letting them run rampant through our lives, these demons. And like I said, you know, wherever you're wounded, he can come in. And what we need to do is lead these women to healing, so that they can shut those doors, they can repent of what they've done. Because really, most of them, that's really what they want to do. They want to just be relieved of the guilt, the shame, and the pain that they feel for having done what they did.
And they're not going to, they're not going to find that in the culture. You know, this is one abusive act. Either someone is coerced into it or makes a free will choice, but nonetheless, it's an abusive action. It's an abuse against themselves. It's abuse against the baby. And there's nowhere that the culture allows for the expression of that, which is why we are so blessed within our church that we have the sacrament of reconciliation. And I just want to put a word out there to any woman listening today or any man who has been involved in an abortion, whether you wanted that abortion or didn't want that abortion, anyone that's been involved, parents who have insisted that their daughter get an abortion, right? Anyone who has been involved in abortion on any level, I want to invite you to go to the sacrament of reconciliation, to be set free from the hold that this sin has on you. And it has a hold on you until you repent of it, and until you let the healing graces of God enter in, and until you work with the cooperation of grace until all of those wounds are healed. Listen, I know about sexual abuse. I experienced sexual abuse. I know that for over 30 years, I worked very hard in cooperation with grace to be healed from that. And deliverance was necessary because that was that atrocity that was committed against me carried with it a demon. I don't mind admitting that. I don't mind sharing that with you today because I know the power of the sacrament. I know what it feels like to be set free from the sins that have been committed against us and the sins that we have committed. And so, you know, this is a plea, and it's coming from a place of love and coming from a place of empathy and understanding about how it is that we can be set free from whatever is assailing us. So if you've been involved in an abortion, I just ask you please to consider the solution to that. And as long as we remain steadfast in it was my right, we will never achieve the healing that we need, and we will begin to see the fallout of that in so many levels. There you have it, Sue.
Yes, I think that that's very well said, and I really appreciate that question. I think it was very timely because of what's going on today in the country, and all I do is ask people to please pray. Pray like you've never prayed before, that these arguments will go the way of life.
Yes. Let's go to Diane. She's in Lincoln, Nebraska. Good morning to you, Diane. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. How are you guys?
Good, thank you.
Thank you.
Well, my comment is relating to acceptance of God and understanding where our eventual ending is. I'm a semi-retired nurse, I say that. And I used to be a hospice nurse many, many years ago, and I worked that for many years. And what it did for me is made me more spiritual and understanding of life's end and what my ultimate goal is to be with God. But I wanted to comment on people that don't have that belief or had it and lost it. There's two cases that always stick in my mind because it was early on in my career in hospice. And these two people, at the time of their death, were so fearful. It was so hard to comfort them. Didn't matter what medication we gave them. They were just struggling so hard, and they admitted being afraid, especially this one woman who was a Baptist at one time of her life and did many things, but when it was time for her to go, she could not accept that. And so, you know, we tried multiple drugs to help her relax and so forth. Finally, she did pass, but it was not a peaceful process. And then I had another gentleman that was an atheist. Same process, getting closer to death, could not let go of Earth. I like to say, very fearful of what's going to happen or where he might end up at. Where in comparison, those that had great faith always had a beautiful, what I call a beautiful death. It was so peaceful. And that's where I really developed my true sense of God. And that calming moment when you do pass, just how beautiful it really is. But they had faith, and they, you know, we know what their status is when they come. Back in the day, this is about 25 years ago, you could stay in the hospital. We had a hospice unit at a Catholic hospital I worked at, and you could stay for 6 months plus. But, you know, you worked with what their needs were, you know, to support their faith base. So I just wanted people to know that God is always present, and God will be there always. And be with him. So that's my comment.
Well, Diane, thank you so very much. And, you know, and thank you for the gift that you give to so many in those moments when they are meeting their eternal reward and they're meeting their Lord and Savior. And thank you so very much for the care and the concern and the compassion that you show to them. And I think that we can agree, Sue, because we've both lost family members. We've seen beautiful deaths. And I unfortunately had the experience of seeing someone pass who was not prepared for death, and mm-hmm. it was a very different setting
experience.
And it's a frightening experience, and you feel helpless. But God gives everybody the opportunity to say yes to Him, and even in those moments, right, Diane? So.
Yes, so true, so true.
Yeah.
And then, can I make one more comment? I was listening to your other one about the devil.
Sure.
And if you don't believe in the devil, I feel sorry for you. But there was a great book I read recently. It was on, it was called Exorcism, but it's written by a priest that explained what exorcism was and how the devil works. And, you know, what the different terminologies mean mm-hmm. and how the influences of different, when you bring things into your home, or you look for God in other places, is a nice way of putting it, what can happen to you? So it was through EWTN that I bought, you know, the Catholic bookstore or whatever, mm-hmm. That I ordered it. But it was so good and so enlightened. I understood more about, you know, we always say the devil being one, but he has many, many, many followers that are working. And he talked about just a... What was interesting about the book, too, was the independence of each of these fallen angels and how selfish they are and how they want to control you. But it was an interesting read, and I really did enjoy it. But it was called, I don't have it handy here.
An Exorcist Explains the Demonic?
Yeah. Let me find that book. Hold on a second here.
Yeah, I'm looking out here, you know, online.
It's called Exorcism, The Battle Against Satan and His Demons. By Father Lambert. I don't have my glasses on. Lambert. Vincent Lambert. And he has performed exorcism, and it's under the Living Faith series. It's a good read. Like I said, it does explain stuff too, and he does exorcism.
Mm-hmm.
And it explains that, you know, there's no, well, I'm not even going to get into it, but it was a good read. If people have questions and want to understand what the different phases of the devil are as far as possession and things like that.
It is helpful to know. It is helpful to know. And so we want to send everybody out there to EWTN's religious catalog. That's EWTNRC.com. And Diane, thank you so very much for your call. We really appreciate having heard from you today.
I appreciate you guys. All right. Thank you.
God bless you. Bye-bye. We have Jen. Jen is in Canada today. Good morning to you, Jen. How are you?
Fine, and I hope you are too. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
I wanted to comment about you have something in your court at the moment about the Roe v. Wade.
Yes.
Which I can't wait to see repealed. I think this was the most disgusting thing that ever happened. And I think it gave liberty to people that wanted to just do what they want to do. You know, it's kind of like the old 70s, you know, do what you want to do and no possible kind of context as far as what they were wanting to do. In my country, I'm not going to, actually, I will come on to your country, but my country, when Justin Trudeau, supposedly a Catholic, became prime minister, he abandoned anybody who wanted to be pro-life, could not be in his caucus. Mm. In other words, if you weren't pro-life, you had to go. If you were somebody that said that we don't believe in this, then you were out of it.
And so I think I'm confused, Jen. So are you saying that he had an entirely pro-life caucus, or he had an entirely
He didn't. He had a pro-choice. I'm sorry. Said that the wrong way. Pro-choice.
Okay.
If you were pro-choice, you wouldn't be in our caucus. And then, of course, he went on to get elected again. But one thing that's always puzzled me about the fact that you now have people elected in your government that want to, have abortions right up to the fact that a baby could be born and could be healthily born, could be adopted. Now, why would any woman want to actually carry a child for 9 months and say, yeah, I don't really want the baby. Whatever you want to do with it.
Well, there's the question, Jen, because it's illogical and it doesn't make any sense. None of this makes any sense. And I think it, certainly there was it's the relativism, isn't it, Sue, where, there's no absolute truth and no, absolute right or wrong. So that, I think, is part of it. But it's even darker than that, because eugenicists were very much behind all of that, because they wanted to wipe out certain segments of the population. And frankly, wherever you see a Planned Parenthood clinic, most typically it's centered in the population that they're targeting. So, Jen, we agree with you on everything that you're saying. And I think that those who are Catholic that continue to support abortion are going to, have a lot of reckoning to do when they stand before the throne of God, unless they repent and change direction. And I'm not judging their soul. Don't hear me saying that. I'm just saying that we're all going to be held accountable. God's going to have us give an account, and we're all going to have big things to explain as we face Him face to face in that moment. Thank you for your call. I want to get to Jennifer. She's in Dayton, Ohio. There, we're getting close to the end here, but let's get to you, Jen, and see what we can do.
Yes, blessed Advent to you, Johnette and Sue. Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I just wanted to share and kind of hear your thoughts on, I was very blessed with a mother and father that really taught me the faith. And unfortunately, I didn't take it seriously until I fell away, in my early 20s. But my mother was diagnosed with end-stage colon cancer. And during the year and a half that she battled, she had some very unique experiences in our home, and she was just a wonderful example of a Catholic, always praying, during treatment, she'd be in and out of, just praying the rosary or the divine chaplet, whatever she could, as difficult and as painful as her experiences were, she was such a strong witness of faith.
Right, but we're getting really close to the end, Jennifer. So,
okay. Well, we witnessed. She was had some very unusual things that happened. We had things fly off the wall. She was pushed down the steps. Just very unusual. But I think God permitted it because my dad and I forever have been deeply. I recommitted to the faith, and I'm thankful. As scary as those experiences were, but she really, at the end of her life, was so strong in her faith and was such a witness. The
Beautiful.
Funeral home director said there were more than 400 people that came.
Wow.
He said it was the largest private funeral he'd ever seen.
Wow. Well, wow. let's give Sue a chance to respond. What about these kinds of paranormal experiences that occur around holy people?
Yeah, something evil was definitely afoot there. things flying off the wall, being pushed down the steps. That's actually a spirit that is now, that's a form of oppression that's now becoming physically dangerous to you. Now, God does allow, they're called vexations. God does allow that. Padre Pio had to wrestle with demons. The Curé of Ars did. I am not sure that that's what the case was here with your mother, but something was definitely going on there. And the fact that you were scared by it is also, you know, telling me that there was something evil afoot in the house. What it had to do with your mother, we don't know that. We don't know at all.
And we're going to have to leave it
in the house before.
Yeah, and we're going to have to leave it right there. Very good questions today, everybody. Thank you, Sue. God bless all of you now. Keep praying. Bye-bye.